Christoph, does this feeling ever go away? Nee, we've been doing this for a while. Does it ever go away? No, we're going to, and I think what everyone is sharing and what we prayed about there at the back also, it's, I believe it's something that the Lord is talking to us about as a body, as believers, and we're going to be looking at that a bit today. We're going to look at Judges 6 for starters. So you can put that next slide up. I've got it there, but turn to it. It might be a bit small for whoever it is. Judges 6, we can start there. And I think it is from verse, I just put Judges 6 there, sorry. I think the best thing would be to do is to go read it in context if you can. But it's Gideon. I think we've heard this story many, many times. It's from verse 11. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. So maybe just to give a little bit of context, the Israelites, they made big mistakes again, worshipping idols, and God sent the Midianites it was tough times, and they were under the hard hand of the Midianites for about 7 years. And it was tough times for the Israelites, for God's people. And it was God that raised the Midianites up to kind of just shake, to warn, to oppress. And it was very tough at a point where they said they had absolutely nothing. They couldn't go on like this any longer as a result of this hard hand of the Midianites on them. And they cried out finally to the Lord, and they said, please help us, Lord. And that happened, and this is where this story comes in. So Gideon was busy threshing wheat in the wine press. Why he was doing that is because the Midianites were obviously trying to take everything that the Israelites had all the time. So he was there kind of doing his thing with this wheat in the wine press, and no one could see him. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Then Gideon said, pardon me, Lord. And it definitely wasn't a pardon me. Sorry, I didn't hear you. What was that? It was a, huh? The Lord is with you? Have you not seen what we've been going through for 7 years? This doesn't look like the Lord is with us. And he says, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and has given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, now this is a nice thing. God didn't give him an answer, didn't explain, yeah, but you know, you did this actually, and maybe if you had to do that, you would have maybe this, and the Midianites wouldn't have that. And God just said to him, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And this is something that I shared last week, and Christoph just asked that we could look at it again. Maybe in a little bit more detail, just see what's the Lord's heart in here. And so we're going to be jumping into this a bit. And then he said again, pardon me, Lord? Huh? Excuse? What? Go in the strength you have? And he said, and Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Gideon replied, still in his doubt and wondering, and thought, yeah, this is my picky weird word. If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. And then it goes on, and it will be really helpful just to read it in context. We're not going to read all the scriptures. But it's quite funny for me that Gideon is having a full-blown conversation here with God, with the Lord. And he's still saying, yeah, but if it's really you, please just give me a sign. Anyways, the Lord gives him a sign. And he realizes this is really the Lord that is speaking. And he exclaims, he's jumping out of his skin, and he's happy, and he's ready for this, probably a little bit scared. We're going to look at that I want to bring this out. This is Gideon's story. This was God with Gideon. So I'm not trying to put myself into Gideon's and exactly replicate how I can live according to this, but I'm definitely encouraged with a normal guy and with an incredible God. And I see God's character in the midst of this, and maybe we can learn a few things. Maybe we can see God's character. Maybe we can see Gideon's response. Maybe just a story of my own. When it was very clear to me and my family, my wife and I, that the Witzenberg of Kouwbokkeveld eigenlijk is the place that we need to go. And I didn't even know that there was a place called Op die Berg. And then I found out this Kouwbokkeveld area, and it's a very strong-willed, big farming community. And here I'm an English guy, long hair. I was definitely saying this, Lord, me, pardon me, what? I'm definitely the weakest in this tribe here, the least of the clan. I'm not the guy. It's definitely not me. I can't do it. Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? Yeah, but Lord, the one thing that the Kouwbokkeveld did do with its strong will is it taught me good Afrikaans. So if I don't do it here, but I can have a conversation in Afrikaans. But the one thing that it couldn't break, the strong will of the Kouwbokkeveld couldn't break, one thing is that's the long hair. And that's because there's another will which is way stronger, and that's my wife's. And sy is ook 'n van 'n Merwe, hoor, so vir julle van 'n Merwe is daar aan die Bokkeveld, julle sal nou weet. So, but I could so relate to this. I thought, yes, but this is, and it's just that normal response. Okay, I see where you're at, but go in the strength you have. But I have no strength, Lord. You see that I've got absolutely no, I've got nothing for me here in this area that you're sending me. I can't do it. There's not a chance. Yeah, I know. Go in the strength you have. Yeah, but even in the little bit of strength that I think I do have, Quitty shared it last week, this thorn in the flesh, like I think I've got a bit of strength. I've got this strong point. Maybe I've got this to offer. And then I find out I've got this kind of crapping thorn in the flesh, and it's the only little bit of strength that I have. But there's this thing. He says, oh, my grace is sufficient for you. And so we're going to be digging into this a little bit. And the story carries on where Gideon responses. In his strength are very little, weakest in his tribe, nothing to offer. He says, okay, I'm going. Why? Am I not sending you? And Gideon had some sort of incredible faith that was built. And it was as a result of God revealing, showing the sign, he heard his voice, whatever it was, there was a few factors. And it was as a result of God speaking and saying, but it's me that's sending you. And so with that in mind, Gideon said, okay, I'm all in. And then something funny happens for me. I find it a little bit humorous. He's got this idea that he's going to take on the Midianites. He's in this massive army. And the Lord says, yeah, but first, just that idol in your father's house, don't you want to just go and deal with that? And it's, my father, my own house? No, I'm ready for that massive battle, and I'm all in, and I'm going. And he goes in the night, obviously super scared, but there's a few lessons in there that we're not going to get into. One of them is, I was thinking of it this morning, is a little bit off the topic here, but it's you see a very good structure or framework of discipline if you have children. And that is, just before this, how God disciplines his people, he sends the Midianites. That's the form of discipline. Now, I often send my children to the bathroom. I say, the Midianites is going to come now. And now I probably can't say that. Paksla, maar anyways, the Israelites at the movies of Paksla gekry, and that was van die Here af, hoor. But after that, he comforted them. He said, okay, I've told you now, this is why, but we're going to journey together now. And jy het al pakslag. Anyways, way off the topic, but if you have children, the Midianites method work where, but a little bit off the topic here. And so one thing that we do see in the midst of Gideon's life, that he was a normal guy, Orla spoke about this morning, how us me, just a plain, dood eenvoudig, gewone ou, how do I respond? How do I find purpose in the midst of this broken world? How do I operate? How do I function? And again, dis baie eenvoudig. Am I not sending you? But in the midst of this journey, we see normal things, and go read the story. You see Gideon's life, and you see he goes through a bunch of things. You can put on the next slide there. He goes through a bunch of emotions, and I've just put a couple on. It's no order whatsoever or anything that's more important or less, or maybe it is. I don't know. I didn't think too deeply in it. But you just see this guy as a result of responding. And then he's going through life. And it's this purpose that he's in. But you see, he got the call, so he was sure of that. And then when he got the call, he was very uncertain of that. And so he asked the Lord to help in the midst of that, and the Lord did. And then he has this incredible amount of faith, and there's doubt, and with the confirmation, there's this beautiful joy that he has, and he has peace. And then you see in the journey with Gideon, he's constantly in interaction with his God. So the Lord said, Gideon, this is what I want you to do. You know, you've got way too much people here, and you've made all your plans. That's fine, but you see throughout the story that Gideon is actually in a beautiful interaction consistently with his God on this mission that he's been called to. And it says, and the Lord said to him, and then over and over, the Lord said to him, and he said, okay, Lord, and he did it. So you see an interaction, you see victory, you see in his life that he was also exhausted. I don't know, I think it was, that scripture is not there, but it says where he was exhausted as a result of constantly battling, constantly going to. And he was exhausted, but he kept on going. Huh? You know, I know in what exhaustion is, and burnout, and overworked, and all these things. But somehow, he kept on going. And he kept on going in a different way, in a different posture, and it was good. And I think it's the only reason is because, am I not sending you? And is that where we are? Are we in a position where we know for sure that the Lord is saying, am I not sending you? And so you see this normal kind of just life that I can so relate to. And in the midst of that, I see the character of God. And I'm grateful for stories like Gideon, like Abraham, like Jesus, like Paul, like Quitty, like Nantes, like John, where with these stories, I'm coming together with him, just like Romans is saying, and I'm being super encouraged in my faith. You know, I'm reading the story of Gideon, and I'm thinking, this is building my faith. Because I can relate. I'm the least of my tribe. I've got absolutely nothing to offer. But somehow there's this desire that says, I want to be part of something. I want to belong. I want to have some sort of purpose. So these kind of stories are beautiful. But one thing that we want to quickly look at, and this is something that's strong on my heart. So we kind of see this aspect of God is inviting people in. And first of all, it is us inviting us to himself. Reborn, baptized believer. That's the first call. Are we in that position? And then he does give us responsibilities. He does give us commands. He does give us a mission while we're on this planet until he comes back. And that's what Gideon had. He had this kind of mission, and God called him onto this. But Gideon's strength meant nothing to the Lord, really. It wasn't too much of importance to him. But we want to look at maybe one thing that's going to help us on this journey in between from now until he comes. Because that's where we are now. And if we have been called, and he has said, I am sending you, we might experience all of the above and more, and we need, or I need, some help to continue and to run this race with endurance. And so we just want to look at faith. One of the things that is probably the most crucial tools, weapons, realities, I'm not sure what word to use, while we are journeying on this earth until the Lord comes back. And we see it in Gideon's life. He had this incredible amount of faith, not because he had any strength, because he of course didn't have, according to the word, but because he heard, because he was sure, and because he was walking with. And so, if I look at faith, I see that it's built, I see that it's refined, I see that it's challenged, and I see there's a reason for it. And we want to look at two aspects of that. And one of the aspects is that, and we see it there with Gideon also, is tests. I watched something the other day, and yeah, it really struck my heart, and it was really good for me. And I realized it's really relevant and it's truth, where tests refine our faith. It brings out the genuineness in our faith when we are going through a test, whatever it may be. In the midst of that test, we've got choices to make. And God, throughout history, from the beginning up until now, has always somewhere, somehow, put his people through tests. We see that with Abraham, we see it with Jesus, we see it with Paul, we see it with so many individuals, myself, yourself, I'm sure, where you go through a test. And we want to look at that quickly. So one of the examples I thought about was Abraham. Oh. So if we're looking at faith, and he was called the father of faith, God said in his old age, he was coming to a place where, you know, his tent was busy deteriorating. He was an old man. His wife was barren. And God said to him, listen, I'm gonna give you a child. I wonder what I would have thought in that time. It's like, really? Huh? And not only I'm going to give you a child, but I'm going to make, you know, from this, you're going to have, your children is going to be like the stars in the sky. Huh? I'm sure you would have also said, pardon? No, I think you got it wrong. I'm hitting 200 and above here. Wife is barren. And anyways, God gives the promise, the son, and he's there. And there must have been extremely amount of joy and doubt and uncertainty and all these normal things that we all experience all the time while we are journeying on this world with God. And he gives him the promise, and the son is there. And later, God says, okay, Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice your son. Go and kill him. Now, I think we've read the story so many times, we know it well. Heard it in Sunday schools by Oulik and Moy and this ain't like glad nie. This hectic. This hectic, ruthless idea. Like fathers, can you imagine taking Daniel, there he is, and you put the wood on your shoulder, and you start walking, and the son has seen Abraham do this many times. He's seen the sacrifice, because sacrifice was part of their framework. They knew about it. They know. They understand it. And maybe the son would have said, yes, my dad, where's Vasti? Oh, what are we sacrificing? You normally take something with. I've seen this many times. No, it's okay. One thing that Abraham did, and we saw it there, and this other guy mentioned it, and it was incredible for me, because I probably wouldn't have done that. It says, after the Lord said this to him, Abraham, go. It says, the next morning, Abraham put the wood, got the stuff ready, and the next morning. So this guy, Andrew, and I think I'm the same, I would have asked like a million signs. I would have dragged this out a lot of I would have been asking for confirmation after confirmation. Lord, am I hearing you right? Like Gideon asked over and over. Is this? No. The next morning. Can you imagine walking to this place with this wood and this knife and this idea? You know, what am I doing here? Am I crazy? But there was something that Abraham had that believed. That no, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what I may think or not think or what I may feel or how I feel or what I can figure it out and the plans that I can make in between that I'm very good at doing, I'm going to believe that God has got a plan here. I'm going to somehow believe that he's good. Because he's revealed that over and over and over and over. And the father of faith, rightly so, name given to him, went. And that was a crazy test. And there's so many tests. Jesus goes to the desert, and it says there that the Spirit of the Lord led him to the desert. So it wasn't just a bad mistake that he made. It wasn't take a wrong turn. Ah, shucks, it's in the woestyn. No, the Spirit led him into the desert. And he was tested. That's what it says. So somewhere, somehow, God is allowing this. And we're going to look, and there's so many stories in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at something in the New Testament in line with this. But it's over and over showing that God is allowing this. And one thing to note, and it's very important, when we are in some sort of test, however it may look, please know that there is the enemy that wants to tempt. It's temptation comes in the opportune time. It says here, I think there's a scripture that says, in Luke 4:13, it says that that was when Jesus was in the desert and Satan was there trying to tempt him while he was being tested. And it said he left the tempting and he waited until the next opportune time. And he's an opportunist. I know there's some businessmen in here that, you see a business opportunity and you're, I'm on it. Yeah, we can work. This can happen. And that's how Satan works. He looks for the opportune time to come and tempt. So in the midst of the testing, where we actually just need to push through, definitely, please know there's going to be temptation. But let's turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And we're going to see this in the New Testament. And Peter was writing to a church at the moment that was going through a terrible time. A very difficult time. And he writes to them. Did I have it up there? I do. And he says, and he starts off with this. And we're going to get to the point of the testing now, and it's don't want to bring a heavy thing. It's really I really feel the Lord is kind of wanting to express his joy, but there's also a real factor in the midst of this that's going to help us within our faith, so that our faith can produce an incredible joy as we walk with God. So in 1 Peter 1:3-9, it says, "Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven," or kept in heaven for you, sorry, "who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, before we go on, I had this guy that shared, and I watched, and it was incredible for me, so I'm just sharing what he shared, and it made so much sense to me, and it's helping me. And again, we are talking about this kind of, we are here now, Jesus is coming, we're on this journey with him somewhere, and we need help to continue. Especially in the times to come, if things don't change very quickly, it's quite dry out there, the market is crazy, there's a bunch of stuff that is happening, and it's tough, it's not ideal, and so we need help, and one of them is faith. And so he talks about, through faith, are shielded by God's power, and we see that in Ephesians also, he talks about the shield of faith. And somehow I always had this picture in the past of, this mighty warrior. Nothing like Gideon, because the Lord saw he was a mighty warrior, but he was this, I've got nothing to offer kind of guy. And I'm seeing this, I rebuke the devil with this mighty shield. But this guy kind of put it in a different picture for me. He's Andrew, in this teaching that I saw. He's like, this shield is kind of just like here, and as you are journeying through this world, this shield is kind of just there. And you're pushing through this crazy Demakar life that we are going through. And the only thing that you've got is to kind of shield you from this mess is faith. Because not much of it makes sense. And so you have to kind of push through, and your eyes are just kind of popping over, and you're kind of like Christoph is saying, you're seeing that there is a bigger picture, and I don't really experience it now because it's a mess, but the only thing that's going to shield us in the midst of this mess and things that is not going the way that we would have hoped it would have been is faith. Is faith. And so it's creating a hope where you can kind of push through and you can be shielded and your eyes can see over and you can kind of just see something, and it's creating this hope. And this is the shield of faith. And then it goes on. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So another word for test is trials, and we see this throughout the word. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. It's not come according to this for any other reason. That these tests and these trials have come so that our faith can be proven genuine, legitimate, authentic, real. And this is what's happening when we are going through and we are holding on to the shield of faith. It's busy being refined. It's busy all the dodgy, what I would call corrupted faith, where faith can serve me and I've got faith so that I can, and I've got faith so that he can. And that, no, faith is like Abraham's faith. He believed regardless of what came. He believed that God was good regardless of what he experienced. True faith. He believed in a way bigger picture than his little bubble, his little pocket, his little me, myself, and I. And how can I use my faith to serve this? No. God is good. Regardless. Regardless. And these, according to Scripture and throughout, from the beginning to the end, I'm seeing that God is using tests and trials to nurture our faith, to make it mature. And this is one of the areas that he's doing it, is tests and trials. And he says, greatly rejoice, all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of much greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. So we know that he's coming. And I must be honest with you, I'm really in a place where I want this journey, this faith that I have right now, to result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. And so I'm asking the Lord, I want to welcome these tests. Because if this is what's going to refine, mature, whatever it is that he wants to do with my faith, so that in the midst of whatever I'm going through, I'm going to say, like Abraham did, I'm on my way. I don't understand. It's not lekker. I don't like it. And to be honest with you, I was a bit of a rebel in school, and so tests wasn't my thing. I didn't like tests. And I don't know if any of us do, but it's necessary. We need to go through tests, whether it's in school, life, tennis, cricket, some sort of test so that it can be tested. And it's God that is allowing it. And so then it goes, though you have not seen him, you love him. So this is talking about faith still. You have not seen him, but you believe and you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so this is just one little, we see one aspect of where our faith is really encouraged. really built. And although you're looking through and it doesn't feel good, but it's really this thing is the thing that's protecting you and it's pushing you through and it's helping you. It really, really is helping you. It's the shield of faith. Yeah, from the arrows and temptation and all the things that we're experiencing in the world, but it's a kind of pushing through. It's protecting us. Shield through faith. And just to let you know, inheritance, this prosperity teaching that we are hearing everywhere that, you know, we need to be better off now and God is going to protect us all the time and we're just going to be better off and wealth is going to, this whole prosperity teaching that everyone is hearing throughout the world, it's all true, but it's not based for now. It is based for in heaven. It's kept in heaven for you. So that's what we are working towards. When he comes, yes, there's going to be no suffering. There's going to be prosperity. There's going to be all these things that everyone is trying to say, you need it now. No, you got it wrong. It's for then. What we need to do now is we need to push through. And while we push through, our faith needs to produce something while we are here. And one of the greatest things that it can produce, according to Scripture, is that it pleases the Lord. He says in Hebrews that one of the things that I desire most from you is faith. Because you're going to believe in me, even though you do not see me. Even though you're going through this incredible test, whatever you're going through, push through. Pick up this faith. And when you do, you still have hope. You still got this idea that God is incredible, and it's a weird concept, but faith does that. And you push. And he says, ah, yes, Abraham, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Paul, whoever it is, thank you. And it's incredible. And another way that he helps us in our faith is the Romans 1 verse 12. That scripture that we had. So while we are going through these tests and trials, we have got a body of Christ. It's not up there, but I shared it. Oh, I do. There it is. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. We need one another in this. We really need one another in this. We're on this journey together. And this is probably one of the most beautiful things that we can do as a body, is to encourage one another. Not just on a Sunday with a word or a testimony, and that's good. But on a Wednesday at cell, a phone call on a friend. I'm struggling with this. I'm not sure what to do here. I've got this word for you, whoever it is, however it is. And to be encouraged by friends and family within the body of Christ is probably the most important thing that we have while we are journeying through here. And we are heading into tough times. We are in tough times. And I'm not sure if it's going to get easier or better. I don't know. It's going to get worse. And on a practical level also, there's massive challenges that is laying ahead. Whether it's in the agriculture sector, whether it's in finances, whether it's wherever it is, it's difficult. But thank God for tests and trials. So in the midst of this difficulty, we can hold on and we can say, well, we're going to push through here. And while we push through, we need one another. And how I see it is the body is kind of polishing that shield, that faith. Or another picture is, have you ever walked outside with a big board? Whether it's a sheet of metal or a wood, and you walk outside and it's windy. Whoopsie. And it's windy, and it's rough, and you step outside with this board, and all of a sudden you feel that you're going to be kind of taken. And immediately I've seen that, I jump and I want to help the guy. And sometimes it's that. Our faith is kind of pushed and shoved around by the winds in this, and it really feels at times it's not, I don't know, I can't. I doubt. I'm uncertain. I'm exhausted. And all these things that Gideon goes through, and we're heading into a season like this, and we are already in it. And then you've got the believer that says, I'm going to come and grab this board with you. I'm going to grab your shield so that you can just kind of keep going. And I can't preach this prosperity thing to you now because it's not for now, it's for then. But let's keep going until we get there. And while we're on our way there, let's express. Let's be Gideon that saves the people. as a result of the call with no strength. Let's love one another, which reveals the beautiful body of Christ to the people that need some sort of love in this world because it's broken. They need to see something else. And the way that we do that is, or one of the ways, is our faith. And so these are two practical ways. I'm sure there's many other ways where our faith is encouraged. But these are two, is tests and trials. And the question is, what test are you in? Go through it. Don't make too many plans to try to get out of it. Go through it. He's busy maturing your faith. And it's good. But in the midst of going through it, seek the body. Don't isolate yourself. Please. The greatest thing that we can do in these times that we are in is to be connected with one another consistently, all the time, so that the body can polish our shield, hold it with us, walk with us, and as we go, we go in faith. There's one more scripture that I just want to finish off with, and it's in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, do I have it there? That's all. And this is such a beautiful book, probably one of my favorite in the New Testament. So I don't know if you guys have in cell groups have something that you're working through. If you don't have anything practical to work through at the moment, pick up the book of Thessalonians and work through it as a cell. Pray about it, chat, see what you see, but it's an incredible book. It's the model church according to the Gospels. It's the model church. And Paul was there. He spent a very short time with this church in Thessalonica, and they responded in an incredible way. And it's beautiful. And I actually wanted to read a whole much, but time is running out. So let's quickly look at that. And this connects with what we're hearing from Peter towards a church that was going through a difficult time, but as a result of their faith, as a result of the way they were tested and trialed and had one another, this was a response. This was the equal sign, the result. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and our Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And they did this well. They did this well. Your work produced by faith. And we are all going to walk out here and we've got some sort of work. We've been called. Whether it is farming, teaching, music teacher, however it may look, whatever it is, our work and what we are doing, is it produced by that faith that we've been reading, that we've been hearing about? And are we responding in such a manner where it is what the Thessalonians did? Your labor prompted by love for one another, but also our love and our constant interaction, like Gideon with his God. Constant interaction prompted by love. Out of that place, not because it's a good idea, because I'm compelled to, that scripture at the back. I'm compelled by the love of Christ to go. And then your endurance inspired by hope. For when? For now? No. If that is our reason for enduring, we are going to suffer greatly. Because the inheritance is there. And your endurance inspired by hope for which is to come. And he is coming. And we need just to keep going with this faith and push through. And you know what I see when we do this? Just the last thing. I see a bunch of living streams in front of me, myself included, when we operate like this. Small little streams, and it's that vision that Ezekiel had standing outside the temple and he saw this water trickling out. And the water, and it was a weird concept for him because nothing came out of the temple. You had to go into the temple and you need to do the bunch of things in order to go in there like the priest did. Now in this vision, he saw something coming out the temple. This water, a small little stream. And as the stream came out of the temple, another one came. And slowly but surely, these streams, these little, became this incredible river. And then along this river, this green life popped out along this river, and this river went into the Dead Sea, where the Dead Sea became full of life. And that was unheard of in that time because the Dead Sea was dead. But that's what I see when we as individuals respond, that we have faith. We become this living water, this little stream, and yes, we've got this tiny little nothing to offer. That's okay. Go in the strength you have. But if you go in the strength that you have without the last slide there, if you go in the strength you have without, am I not sending you stickers? And so I want to encourage you. We are all some sort of little stream. And I hope that we are. But let us make sure that as a result of walking with, we are hearing, am I not sending you? And as a result of that one word, am I not sending you? We will have this incredible faith and believe like Gideon did. But then we need to know that we're going to go through things and God is, he knows what we need. And we're going to go through tests and trials so that this faith can be matured. But please know, we need one another also. We need one another. So let us make sure that we are hearing that. Am I not sending you? So where you are going at the moment, whether it's your workplace, however it may look, your family, whether you're a mother, a father, somewhere, somehow, we are being sent. We are being sent. Little stream of water coming out of this temple. Because do you not know that we are the temple? Is what the scripture says. And let us ask the Lord for help with that. That we will be sure that He is sending us and not some other foreign god, whether it be materialism, whether it be witchcraft, ancestral worship, whatever it is, that it would be our incredible God that knows the bigger picture, as Christoph said, that knows what is there while we are in the midst of this. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this eternal hope. And I pray that we'll have a mature understanding of eternity and that our eyes will be cast on you. And we are in the middle of this, and I thank you, Lord, that this kind of faith produces an inexpressible joy. And we want to be a body of Christ in the midst of challenges to have an incredible joy, which is produced by faith, Lord. We cannot do this without faith, Lord, and I ask that you will continue to work it in us. In whichever way you please. Help us to become mature in this. Help us to face this next season with faith. An Abraham faith that believes and knows that you are God because you are good. Thank you for all the faith pillars that you have given us over time, over and over, revealing yourself to us through your word, through the body, through stories, and you've showed that you are good. We want to believe. And whichever test or trial that we are going through, help us to endure with the hope in mind. And while we are going through it, mature our faith, Lord, so that we'll be true and genuine, according to the scripture we see in Peter, that this genuine faith would be a reality in us as a body. We really need it, Lord, and we want it to be a pleasure unto you. That prayer of being a beautiful incense in your nostrils, Lord, this is what we desire in this world that stinks. And we know that that's what you want. So please help us with this faith. Encourage us as a body to encourage one another. To constantly walk, talk, act, live, be, cry, laugh together. Prompt us to encourage one another. We are all going through tests and trials. We need people to help us with this shield. Lord, we love you and we appreciate your word. I pray that it will be applicable in our everyday life. I pray it in your name. Amen.